I think it's all about stripping things back to the basics, isn't it? I'm sure when you start working with a client, I've sent training programs and nutrition plans to clients and they've gone, oh, is that it? And it's like, yeah, because it should be quite simple. Like, follow these basics initially, we'll get things regular and then we can build upon it. But I think people like a plan that looks really complicated. So many personal trainers give plans that have kind of whatever it is, like carb cycling and daily undulating periodization, and they're training different body parts at different times of days. And it's so unnecessary. And to get results for the large majority of people, it should just be really, really straightforward and quite easy. So I think a lot of our work is just kind of undoing all the nonsense that they've been told by the coaches in the past.
You're listening to Detox Wellness, a place where we demystify all things health, nutrition, and fitness. I'm your host, Deanna Balberman, registered holistic nutritionist and fitness and lifestyle coach. Today, I interview Michael Ujoa, someone who I've been following on Instagram for a while. I've also listened to his podcast, which we will plug in here so you can listen to it after this. And he's someone who talks a lot about over-exercising, body acceptance, not falling for fad diets. So obviously, we're going to be good friends. We really get to know each other for the first time through this Zoom conversation. So at the beginning, we're just kind of feeling each other out, seeing what's up. And then we really dive into some good juicy stuff near the end about all of those topics I just mentioned. I also give him some quick fire questions, which I think are fun to really get to know someone across the world. And I hope that you like this episode. Let me know what you think and share it with a friend if you think it is relevant. Okay, here we go.
There we go. We're unmuted.
Hi.
How are you? You're right.
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Let me turn on my little light, and then it won't look like I'm kind of sitting in the dark.
It's all good. I have mine on too.
There we go. All the plug sockets.
Oh my gosh, same. I'm like surrounded by cords. I keep tripping when I have this all set up.
I know. We got a joiner in to like set up this home office space, and it's amazing. But yeah, there's just like plug sockets all over the place, and I've still not like organized it how I want it. So it's a little all over the place. Yeah.
It's fun to hear your accent. When I was listening to your podcast, I'm like, this is a nice switch up.
Yeah. See, my good old, it's like South English accent. So it sounds a lot posher than I am. Yeah.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, let it rip and give me all the short forms. It's so funny listening to like even like your like press ups and like everything is different. I'm like, what are you saying?
if I say anything during the podcast, then please like let me know if it doesn't make any sense to you, and I'll try to change it up.
Please translate to other English.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly that.
Awesome. So can you just tell me a little bit about yourself? I obviously only know what I see on Instagram, so give me a little debrief.
Of course, yeah. So my name is Michael Ujoa. I'm a personal trainer and performance nutritionist, really. So I'm based here in Edinburgh in Scotland. I'm originally from kind of South Coast England near Brighton, if you've heard of Brighton before. I've been a personal trainer now for around 7 years, and I kind of started off in your usual kind of big box gym for about a year before breaking away and starting my own personal training company up. Around about that time, I started to invest a significant amount of time on social media, just creating stupid content that I thought was quite funny and seemed to relate to, a lot of people seemed to be able to relate to it. My social media presence started to grow, and then I was being contacted by people from kind of all around the world just saying, oh, I wish you lived in my city so that you could train me. And I thought, why not? Let's start online coaching and start training people outside of the city that I live in. And yeah, I started online coaching maybe around like 3 years ago, I think now. And I've worked with clients in about 15, 16 different countries. And yeah, that's kind of me in a very short snippet. I run an online personal training business now, mostly doing online PT, a little bit of nutrition coaching on its own. I work with your kind of everyday exerciser who's looking to improve performance, build muscle, potentially lose weight. Like, well, no matter what it is, I've kind of worked with it. And I work with a few kind of higher performance athletes as well. A lot of athletics. I'm working with a couple who are trying to get to the Paralympic Games in Beijing. So yeah, it's quite a wide array of clientele that I've got.
That's sweet. Good for you. Do you have any Canadian people?
I actually do. Yeah, I do train someone who's based in Canada. She's about to move to Vancouver. I'm currently in contact with another person who I might start training as well, who's from Canada. But yeah, it's all over. It's good. It's my family have actually just moved over to Canada. So I'm hoping that kind of COVID dependent next year, we can get out there to visit them as well. I've never been, so.
Nice. What part of Canada are they moving to?
So it's somewhere just outside of Vancouver. I'd never heard of it before. I apologize. But yeah, it's somewhere just outside of Vancouver. And they actually moved there last year. They were supposed to only go there for a few months, and they've decided to stay for good because they absolutely love it. So, I mean, it's great for me. I've got a nice holiday destination waiting for me. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I love out west. I'm from Ontario, so it's a little bit far, but I'm going out west again this year. I'll try to go every once in a while.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. I would really love to go. Me and my wife, we both like doing a lot of traveling, and it's definitely next on the list.
Nice. Awesome. So do you use TrueCoach, or what do you use to train people?
So I use an app called MyPT Hub. They're a company based in the UK. I don't know if they're used in Canada that much. I mean, I trialed quite a few different apps when I first started coaching clients, and I found that MyPT Hub tended to be the kind of most user-friendly, especially for those people that are maybe not as experienced. Exercises is quite good for people getting started. Like, the exercise videos are great. It's really user friendly. The interface is just really nice to use. So most of my work I do through my PT Hub, and we can track kind of nutrition stuff through that as well. Progress photos of people like going down that route, measurements and workouts and stuff. It's great.
Nice. That's really cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of it, but maybe, I don't know if it's in Canada or not. A lot of people here use TrueCoach, which I don't, have you seen that one?
Yeah, I actually have. I did trial TrueCoach. I really, really liked it actually. I really enjoyed using TrueCoach, but I trialed it with a few of my clients who were quite new to training. And I just found that my PT Hub just won on that front. Yeah.
Nice. That's cool. Do you Zoom like live stuff, or do you mostly just like give them programming, or it switches depending?
So yeah, I have a lot of one-to-one client time with every person that I work with. I know that there's a lot of online coaches out there who got into online coaching because they thought it might be an easier way to coach people because they can work with more people at a time and make more money. But I didn't really want to go down that route. I still wanted to be able to invest as much time as I did to my in-person clients, to those people that I was working with online. So I do some of my clients I do video calls with. Most of the time it's just phone calls. But I book out kind of 2 30-minute calls with every client that I work with each week. And most of my clients I'm in regular contact with via text throughout the week too. So I feel like even though I'm not there with them throughout the training sessions, I feel like you still have that kind of personal touch of personal training, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So do you have like an ideal client, or is it just like everyday athlete and you like switching it up? Or?
Yeah, I actually like the variety. I know, especially now, I've seen a lot of these kind of coaching, like coaches for trainers kind of helping them set up online business. And I know that they tell people to really niche down to kind of have your ideal client that you want to work with, because it's easier to advertise yourself. Mm-hmm. But I didn't actually like doing that at all. I know that most PTs kind of go down the kind of quote unquote weight loss approach, and that's what they'll hammer on social media to target. But I know I like the variety. I do like the variety. I like working with newbies, like people that don't have much of an exercise background. I like teaching people the basics, especially when it comes to nutrition. Like, nutrition is kind of my major love, really. I've done further studying in nutrition. I'm currently training to be a performance nutritionist and then moving on to hopefully my master's next. And Yeah, I like teaching people the basics of nutrition and helping them to figure out the perfect diet for them rather than giving people these kind of cookie cutter guides that they are just kind of told, follow this and it will work. And then they don't learn anything about their bodies. So that's how I like to work.
That's awesome. So when did you get into nutrition? Like before, during, after you started PT?
It was actually just as I started personal training. A little cliche, but I was having digestive issues myself and I wasn't getting the support that I needed. So when I was training to become a PT, I started getting a lot of digestive discomfort. I was going back to the GP, back to my doctor regularly, and they kept telling me everything's fine. There's no issues at all. I got sent for hospital checkups, for blood tests. I had cameras put inside of me. And every person that I saw was like, no, there's nothing wrong with you. You're absolutely fine. And I can tell you, I did not feel fine. I felt awful. And it basically, I needed to Google what was wrong with me. And that's the way that I found out. Someone online recommended I do an elimination diet, which I wouldn't encourage anyone to do on their own. But I did. I kind of just started cutting out all these different food groups. And then I found out that it was eggs and dairy. Both were just completely ruining my stomach. And I just, as soon as I cut those out, I just felt so much better. I felt amazing. So it blew my mind that I could see that many healthcare professionals and no one suggested like, oh, maybe your diet is actually causing you so many issues. So I thought that kind of just sparked a love of nutrition. And I did a course by Body Type Nutrition, who's based in the UK, trained with the Nutrition Academy. And now I'm working with the Institute of Performance Nutrition. And then who knows where it will lead, but nutrition is definitely kind of a big passion of mine from that.
Yeah, I think a lot of us become the coach that we needed. So that's why I got into that stuff.
Yeah. Too. So what's your story then? What led you down to the nutrition route then?
First, it was like not a healthy way. So I started with like macros and stuff at CrossFit and then got way too obsessed with it and was like kind of following like what my fitness pal said or like Googling what my macros should be. So then I just kind of wanted to learn more because I was so into CrossFit and moving. So I was like, okay, I want to optimize my performance. But I was definitely under eating, over exercising, like doing a 5K run and then a CrossFit workout and just like wild. But I knew I wanted to be like a holistic side because I wanted to learn about like body, mind, spirit. So in Canada, there's a school called Canadian School of Natural Nutrition. It's a 2-year program and it's really holistic minded. So it's dietary, lifestyle, and supplements. So there's a lot of focus on stress and sleep. And there's a lot of additional things that other courses don't teach. Like there'll be some stuff on like essential oils or like just like random things that you'll see in the wellness industry and then teaching you about that. Mm-hmm. So at first I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to be, and I was vegan at the time. So I was so like, I'm going to be a vegan nutritionist for like athletes. Like I was so like very linear. And then I started to have my own issues during that time. I actually like for a while, like a year and a half, I had no period because I was like so disastrous. So I was kind of trying to figure out how to help myself with nutrition, except for not by eating more, because that was just out of the question.
Yeah.
it was a kind of a long, windy journey of like digestive issues, hormonal issues. Mm-hmm. And then once I started to reintroduce foods and stop eliminating so much, I started to feel better. And then I got into like looking more into disordered eating and then intuitive eating. So it kind of started as like the person I want to work with now, people who need help with understanding body acceptance and body neutrality and things like that. But that's how I ended up on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it? It's so varied. Like there's so many different routes people can take into nutrition nowadays. And I mean, as you know, there's so much nonsense out there that good coaches really are needed at the moment. So it's cool. Like, so how many years have you been working in nutrition for now then?
Not even a full year. Graduated in November.
Cool. That's cool. Yeah. So fresh
yes,
and new.
Fresh and new. Yeah. I started doing like kind of like what you did. I didn't niche down. I just wanted to see what I liked. So I had some people who were diagnosed with IBS, diagnosed with hypothyroid, diagnosed with whatever. And then just kind of playing around with different people. And then I started getting more into like period health and things like that. So then I got some clients through that. And I got some PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome clients. And then now I'm going to rotate more towards intuitive eating. But I think eventually it'll be intuitive eating for hormones, because those are my two major loves, awesome. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Nice and varied.
Yeah. So what got you into posting so much about like body acceptance stuff? Because it feels like that's a lot of your posts for sure.
It is. Yeah, it's a lot of my posts now. I think just because I don't want to say, because I know a lot of people get into posting that kind of content because maybe it might do well for an algorithm or whatever. But I genuinely feel like my content that I've been creating throughout the years has just slowly morphed into that field. I never planned to kind of go down that route with all the content I was creating, but I realized that a lot of people are in need of that kind of content right now. I'm maybe a little bit different from the usual kind of body positivity related content creators in the way that I do kind of talk about nutrition and exercise, and I don't kind of rule out any approach that maybe some coaches might do, because I know that, for example, you're going down the intuitive eating route, which is awesome. We spoke kind of before this podcast, didn't we? And I mentioned that I use a lot of tactics from intuitive eating, but maybe I don't kind of put myself within that group of coaches of just doing that. And I don't know, I'm maybe being like quite explorative in my own learning, and that's maybe just coming out in the content that I'm creating at the moment. I still feel like there's a lot of uncertainty around the way that the fitness industry will look in the next few years, because there does seem to be kind of polar opposites at the moment within the fitness industry. You have these people that are really clinging on to like this macro approach, and that's all you're allowed to teach. Mm-hmm. And then you have other people on the other end of the spectrum saying intuitive eating, this is what we should be coaching, and there's no other approach that should be used. And I like to think that I sit somewhere in the middle of that, rightly or wrongly. I think that macros and calorie counting and that, I don't think it's a bad thing by any means. I use it with some clients, but I also realize that it's a tool that can be used and then shouldn't be stuck with long term. Like that kind of approach can be really good at teaching someone the foundations and the basics of nutrition, and then you move into more intuitive way of eating, because that's kind of what we all want to be able to do. We all just want to be able to live our lives and be healthy and happy and not obsess over anything. The way that I eat, for example, is I'll eat intuitively most of the time. I don't track my food for probably like 11 months of the year, and then occasionally I'll have a fitness goal and I think, right, if I could stick to these macros for this time, I know I'll get to where I need to be, and then I can move back into eating intuitively. So yeah, maybe I am just being a little bit explorative in my own learning at the moment, and it seems to be helping people. Like, I seem to get a really good reaction from it, and I like to think that maybe coaches like yourself and me, we're kind of breaking the mold slightly and showing people that there is a different way. A lot of the coaches still in the UK, at least, that have the biggest presence online is still this kind of old school approach that I think does need to change slightly. Some of the bigger accounts are starting to highlight the importance of talking about body acceptance and body positivity, but there's still a lot of people that view that as a really bad thing and something that we shouldn't talk about because it's not helpful, or you're promoting obesity or whatever other nonsense they like to throw at you.
Exactly. Yeah, that was a good point. I definitely think that, like, it's not that anything is wrong. It's just like what works best for that client. And if they've had a passive disordered eating or things like that, like telling them to weigh their chicken breast, probably not the best approach. So it's good that you can kind of figure it out what works for them. And I do have some people track things, but it's more so like, are you eating enough for your activity level than are you like cutting 500 calories a day so that you can potentially lose weight?
I completely agree with that. And I think it's good for coaches to have all these tools in the toolbox, and you'll have so many different clients that come to work with you. And if you just have one way of working, then I think you're going to find yourself pretty stuck. If you have all these tools of knowing what macros are and the benefit of them and why we need each individual macro, etc., then even if you're not using that to calorie count, then you can still use the information from learning that to use it in a more intuitive way of eating. So I do feel like coaches need to be aware of the kind of full spectrum of the way that you can work with clients.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you find that there is common things that come up a lot with nutrition, like where you are? Is it like the low carb right now? Is it like full keto? What do people try to ask you about?
Do you know, keto doesn't seem that popular, especially with the clients that I work with. There's been very few people that have come to me on the using the keto approach. I'd maybe say I've been coaching now for nearly seven years, and I think that I've maybe worked with three people that have come from a keto-based background, so like hardly any. A lot of people do go low carb because, I mean, that's still what media likes to throw at us and tell us that bread and pasta and potatoes and stuff are going to make us really unwell. But yeah, I think it's mostly low carb, and intermittent fasting and different kind of fasting protocols are still really, really popular. I don't have an issue with fasting. I've had some clients that really enjoy it, have eaten that way for years, and we keep that going because it works for them. But I also appreciate that for a lot of people, myself included, if you tell me that I can't eat at a certain time of the day, I'm going to get really angry because I like to eat, you know? So once again, it's just about finding that approach for the client in front of you. What about in Canada? Is there one that's kind of more prominent at the moment?
I'd say like a few years ago, paleo was a lot bigger. I don't see many people doing that now. It's mostly low carb, not full out keto, but I have had a couple clients who did keto a couple years ago and they're like, oh, it worked so well. I'm like, but did it? Cause did you not just say you lost 50 pounds and then gained 60? So like, it work well or did it work horribly? And now you're just weight cycling, causing yourself more unhealthy weights. But, yeah, I think intermittent fasting and like cleanses probably come up a lot in the summer.
They're really popular here still. Like the cleansing, it is definitely one that people seem to want to do quite a lot. I'm actually working with a client in the States at the moment, and he's come from a background of doing that quite regularly. And I'm now trying to move him away from it as much as possible. So yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I don't know. Once again, when you're working with a client, especially when they've come from a background of doing something so frequently, you don't want to start attacking that approach that they've probably got some sort of attachment to. So it's all about managing that in a nice, friendly and positive way while smiling and politely telling them, I don't think it's a very good idea. Please stop doing it.
please just no.
Yeah, please stop.
So how do you feel about... Give us a rundown of what you feel about carbs when people think, okay, so should I cut all carbs? Say a client comes in and says, should I just not eat bread and pasta? What do you say?
So I kind of always have like a little spiel that I say to my clients, and I always say that my approach to nutrition is that there are no foods off limits. I think that every single food can be part of a healthy diet. The danger is just really in the dose. And I think by saying that from the get-go, they tend to get some sort of idea of what my approach to nutrition should be. But yeah, I'll always argue that clients should have a significant amount of their diet coming from carbohydrate. I mean, sometimes I've had with clients who are really persistent and wanting to try low carb, I'm like, right, let's try it for a week or two and let's see how you feel. And then a couple of weeks after that, we throw more carbs into their diet and surprise, surprise, they feel awesome and have so much more energy. So I'll always encourage clients to include carbohydrate. And I guess you can kind of mask that in a way, maybe not mask that, that's the wrong word. You can do that in a way that is using carbs that they consider quote unquote clean or anything like that, you know, encouraging them to eat things like more fruits and vegetables, or potatoes tend to be something that is viewed a little bit more friendly than pasta, for example, or bread. And then once they realize that they can include these foods within their diets and they feel awesome, you can then start including some of those that they previously demonized, and they now might think, oh, okay, I'll give this a go and see how I feel.
Yeah, that's a good approach. I like that.
Yeah.
So you're in school right now again for nutrition, or you're waiting to decide if you want to do your
master's? I am. I'm in school at the moment. So I'm back studying. I thought when COVID struck, I was working in gyms still. I was maybe 60% online and working in gyms. So I thought I'll have a lot more free time whilst COVID is happening. So let's start studying again and go back to school. And then my online work just kind of took off because online coaching has suddenly become even more popular over the last year and a half. So now I'm trying to manage kind of a full workload and studying and everything on top of each other. So it's full on, it's a busy schedule, but I love it. Like I honestly love furthering my knowledge when it comes to nutrition. I just think the human body, it sounds really cheesy, doesn't it? The human body is amazing, and nutrition is just, it blows my mind how you can completely change someone's life when you get their diet right. And the course I'm doing now is more tailored towards kind of as a performance nutrition, some more kind of athletes. because I quite enjoy working with athletes too. So I wanted to improve my skills there, but there's a lot of layover into the kind of everyday exerciser too. So the goal is to do this and then go on to my master's, but it kind of depends on my schedule and how much I want to cry when I see how busy my work week is. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You'd have to cut a couple people, I'm sure. Or yeah. Like, can you do part-time masters? I don't know how that works, but.
I think you can, depending on location and whether you, a lot of it's now online, which is good from COVID. A lot of classes have moved to online, so you probably could do things a bit more distant, but I think still some schools expect you to be able to go into lecture theatres to be there in person. So we'll see. I'm not ruling it out, but I don't know. I've got maybe another 3 to 4 months left of this course, and then I can decide from there.
How long is that course?
It's been a year and just over a year and a half so far. So be close to 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it was all online then?
It's all been online, which has been great. Yeah, so your tutor that you get, you speak to just via emails and phone calls if you need, and then it's all been online lectures. It's been great. So yeah, it's been really flexible.
Nice. And how many clients are you balancing at the same time? Does it vary, obviously?
So it does vary. I tend to try and hover around working with like 20 to 25 clients at a time, and I feel that that is the sweet spot. I have taken on more clients at one go before, but I just started to burn out. And as I said at the start, the reason I don't like to overload my diary is because I like to be able to give every person I'm working with that time that they really deserve. Yeah, I'd rather over deliver with my time than have people thinking, why can I never get a hold of him? So yeah, I usually find 20 to 25 people is a good number. And I also have like a fitness subscription service thing that I do on the side too, called Get Fit with Michael. And there's usually around like 70 to 80 members that I've got in there as well. So yeah, it's busy. It's good.
Yes. And your podcast.
And my podcast. Yeah, I should plug that. Jason will get mad at me if I don't. So yeah, I run a podcast called Just the Fitness Tip with a good friend of mine, Jason Auld. We've been running that for almost like 2.5 years now. So
Wow. We
recorded our 92nd episode earlier today. So yeah, we've been going at it for some time. We've started to get some more guests onto the show now. And you know, we've interviewed some people that I've looked up to in the fitness industry since I first started as a personal trainer. So it's been a really cool experience and learning from people that have far more experience than me. And yeah, it's honestly, I love these podcast chats. It's just, you get to meet some amazing people. It's when I'm recording with Jason, it's just me and a friend chatting for 45 minutes once a week about fitness and nonsense. And yeah, people seem to like it.
Yeah, it is funny. Yeah, I listened to your episode with the fat doctor,
yes.
And that was really good. I followed her afterwards. I'm curious to watch the actual episode you guys were talking about. I don't know if I can find it, though.
After this, I'll try to find a few and I'll send it through. It may be one of those where it's like on some British website that doesn't let you view it elsewhere, but I'll try to find the video for you. So yeah, Dr. Natasha Lamy, she's a GP based in the UK, for anyone listening who's unaware of her. And she got taken on to, or brought onto daytime TV, basically to argue against, it basically was to argue. They pitched it as a debate, but it was an argument of someone who is very much against people being overweight. He's really aggressive. He's a horrible man. I don't mind saying that because he is. He's not a nice guy at all. Some of the fat shaming and stuff he's done on the programs that he's done are absolutely disgusting. And I do not agree with him at all. And then Natasha Lamy came on and she's kind of very body positivity focused. And talked a lot about fat acceptance and the fat acceptance movement. And it was just a car crash. The TV interview was an absolute car crash. So Jason and I thought it'd be really cool to get her on the show and let her actually get her words across and to find out what her opinion was. And we actually just had a really good discussion. It was really nice. Some of the content she creates, maybe I wouldn't completely agree with. I'm sure she wouldn't mind me saying that. But once you delve deeper and have a genuine conversation with someone, you realize that actually your motives and your views tend to align a bit more than you think. Within the fitness industry, I'm sure you're aware of this, there's people like to be right. They don't like to have healthy discussion. They just want to argue their point and be right.
Yes.
Even if the person that they're arguing with probably actually has a similar view to them anyway. So yeah, that's what we did. We had her on the show just to try and have a nice polite discussion and see if we could find some common ground. And I think we did. It was a really good talk.
Yeah, I definitely think you guys, you handled it well. And yeah, I agree. It's like, 95% of the time you agree with every other practitioner. So why are you so stressed about like, no intermittent fasting, no this, no that, or like, no bodybuilding, only CrossFit, yeah. no CrossFit, only this. It's like, you're just you both want people to move their body. You both want people to eat in a way that makes them feel good. So like, why don't you come yeah. together?
Exactly that. Like, I'm sure there are exceptions in the industry. People like Gwyneth Paltrow who are clearly in it for the money and don't care about the people they're selling stuff to. But I think the majority of people that get into kind of healthcare or fitness, the reason they get into that is because they want to help people. They want to help improve people's lives. And if you can all just kind of strip everything back to that and then build a healthy discussion from that point, it's actually amazing what you can achieve. And yeah, I think that's why I feel like as a personal trainer, I feel disenchanted by a lot of the fitness industry. Like I've just got no time for a lot of the kind of big personalities and the big figures that you see within the fitness industry, because they are just out there to create controversy and to build an online presence rather than having a healthy discussion and actually helping the people that they supposedly profess to want to help.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you started building your online presence, did you find that that's where a lot of your clients came from? Is it like more podcasts, Instagram, just referrals?
I think most of the people that listen to my podcast are probably people that follow me on social media. And then I think you weren't aware I even had a podcast. So which just kind of shows how rubbish, I'm really rubbish at promoting it, because I do kind of treat it as just me and my friend Jason having a chat about fitness. So Jason is a professional unicyclist. So he's got like a really niche background himself. Who knew that you could make a career from that? But Jason has, it's great. So we both come from these kind of really different backgrounds within fitness. Jason is also very Scottish. As you can tell from my accent, I'm very English, like the very south of England. So I just feel like we've coming at fitness from a very different angle, but we both love strength training. We both love chatting about stupid topics and making an absolute joke of goat yoga and whatever nonsense the fitness industry is coming out with. And yeah, I think most of my work now comes through Instagram. It's probably like 80 to 90% of my work comes through Instagram. And then my podcast is just kind of a nice little fun thing that we do, and who knows where that will lead, you know?
Yeah, for sure. First of all, goat yoga looks fun, to be fair.
So Jason gets really angry about goat yoga. He's really passionate about his hatred of goat yoga, and I like to wind him up about that. But yeah, I'm up for it. There's actually a farm. So I live, as I said, in Edinburgh. There's a village just outside of Edinburgh that does less like a goat yoga farm. And I want to take Jason along for a birthday present and just see how it goes down. So I'll report back.
That is amazing. Surprise him, blindfold him, bring him there. Oh my God. Gosh, perfect. That'll get you some good content. IGTV. That's amazing. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, so do you have any recommendations for people who are starting out online, building their brand? Like, you've kind of talked a little bit about like being authentic and not just like selling things that you think will sell, or talking about things you think will sell. Anything else that helped you build yours?
I think I really enjoyed creating content. I think that is really important. You need to have a good reason for going into creating content. I like to think that if you're within the wellness or the fitness space, whatever you want to call it, the reason you are creating content is because you want to help people that are following you. If you're solely doing it because you want to grow a presence and make money from having a big online presence, then I think you're setting yourself up for failure pretty early doors. So I think, yeah, first of all, just have like a good reason why you're doing it. If you genuinely want to help people, I think you'll succeed if you're consistent. And then, yeah, as I said there, just consistency is just churning out content consistently as possible. As I said, I've been a coach for about 7 years, which I think makes me a veteran in the personal training world, because I know it's quite a short-lived career. People are sold this kind of dream of make 40 or 50 pounds an hour or whatever it is, and their eyes light up, but they realize that getting started is tough. It's super competitive. But I honestly think that it's worth sticking out, and it is the best job in the world if you can stick at it and build a business from it. Absolutely. So yeah, I would say consistency and just being nice. And that sounds really cheesy, but so many in this industry are not. So many people are out for themselves, unfortunately. They don't mind screwing over people. They don't care who they harm in the process. But I genuinely think if you want to help people, you're passionate about what you do, you can be a nice person and you want to network and create these amazing relationships with people that you meet online, then yeah, it'll take time, but you'll get there. Absolutely. I easily spend a good 2 to 3 hours a day on social media, either creating content or just engaging with people and giving people free advice because I love it. I genuinely love helping people. And I think when people realize that and learn that you are just out because you want to help people, then it'll happen. It will work.
Yeah, thank you. That's really good advice.
Yeah, I think I could have grown a presence way quicker if I just sold some ridiculous notion like intermittent fasting or some keto nonsense that people could have bought into. But yeah, having a balanced and sensible approach to nutrition is not a way to grow a presence online quickly. So you have to be patient with it.
Yes, I see that. Yeah, you're like, if you're one end of the spectrum or another, you're going to get like all those people come flocking.
Yeah.
It's definitely harder to find people who want just like to feel good without much elimination or things like that. But it's super important to, if that's what you want to do.
It is. I think it's the right way to do it. You know, it is the right way to do it, but it's slow. And a lot of people don't want to plug away for years to build a presence. They like everyone nowadays in society, they want quick fixes. They want things now. And I think if you're doing coaching the right way, it's going to take a bit of time.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see if I had anything else I wanted to ask you. Oh, okay. Let's talk about overtraining. So What would you consider overtraining if a client came to you and said something? What would they be saying that you might consider that?
Yeah. So I guess I'd maybe separate kind of male and female clients within this space as well. So it's very common within female clients of mine that come forward that tiredness, lethargy, hunger levels usually, and then menstrual cycle irregularity as well. I have a lot of athletes that I've worked with who don't have a period and haven't done for some time. I know you spoke about this at the start as well. And it is unbelievably common and weirdly really accepted within fitness that this is a normal thing that you should just put up with, and it absolutely should not be. If your menstrual cycle is not running regularly or consistently, then I would definitely reach out to someone for some help, because it doesn't have to be like that. People, once again, it might come down to wanting quick fixes. They kind of massively restrict their food intake, they massively increase their exercise output, cutting back on sleep, running on caffeine, God knows whatever it is, usually a concoction of all of those, and then they wonder why they feel like crap the entire time. So that's usually kind of the regular things that I see, and it is really common, especially when people have been usually looking for weight loss for a long, long period of time as well. If people have been sold the wrong approach, they've been maybe following some fasting approach for years or been going to a slimming club and dropped a load of weight and put it back on again, and they're wondering why their body is not agreeing with them at the moment, despite treating it like absolute rubbish, then yeah, there's so many different wide array of things. I'm sure you see all of these as well with the clients that you've worked with, but I think it's all about stripping things back to the basics, isn't it? I'm sure when you start working with a client, I've sent training programs and nutrition plans to clients and they've gone, oh, is that it? And it's like, yeah, because it should be quite simple. Like, follow these basics initially, we'll get things regular and then we can build upon it. But I think people like a plan that looks really complicated. So many personal trainers give plans that have kind of whatever it is, like carb cycling and daily undulating periodization, and they're training different body parts at different times of days, and it's so unnecessary. And to get results for the large majority of people, it should just be really, really straightforward and quite easy. So I think a lot of our work is just kind of undoing all the nonsense that they've been told by the coaches in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned a lot of good things there. Definitely it is not a good sign if your menstrual cycle goes away. That's like, I like to call it your monthly report card. So like, if you have a terrible period, you need to maybe look at something. If you're not getting something, definitely look into it. Talk to your doctor about different types of options. Like, there is the pill, their IUD, there's other ways to plan without anything if the hormones are not working with you. So just a reminder for everyone listening that,
yeah, it's so important, isn't it? It is so important. And it's also really difficult as well if someone's so desperate to make results or to kind of get the results that they think in their heads that will make them happy, that they're willing to put their body through these things that puts them under so much stress, and actually reversing that can be really difficult and a process in itself. So I think that people just once again need to be really patient. And I mean, there's clients that I've worked with who has taken like a good 5 to 6 months at least to build back some sort of regularity with their menstrual cycle. And I'm sure they could have gone to another coach who promised them results within like a month or two, but you've got to play the long game with your health and just start treating your body with a bit of respect and it will get there. But yeah, any irregularities, as you said, like, don't leave it, go get it checked ASAP.
Yeah, I waited a full year and then it took me almost 2 years. So yeah. Just don't do that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it takes time. And it's, I appreciate that it can be frustrating for people, but it's definitely worth taking your time and being patient with it.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, like digestive issues, like what you were having at the same time that I had disordered eating and no period, which those are all very related, like digestive issues and disordered eating are very related. That's something people put off a lot as well. Like even like I know people who've like had accidents, like going to the bathroom, like wild stuff. And then they're not reaching out for help because they're just like pushing it off and off and off. Mm-hmm. But that's definitely like the time that you need to get in there and take care of your own health first.
Yeah, it is. And I think it takes when people finally sort out an issue that's been lasting for so long, that's when they start questioning why it took them so long to make the change. Like I was maybe having issues for maybe about a year and a half, was trying to figure out what was wrong with me. It wasn't that I didn't want to. And yeah, as soon as I figured out what it was that was causing me issues, oh my God, my life changed. I just felt so much better. Like my mental health was better. Everything was improved. And I'll get comments from people going, oh, why didn't you eat that pizza? Surely it's worth it just this one time. And honestly, it's not worth it at all. Like once you find that path of what works for you and you find a way of eating that makes you feel so much better, it's, yeah, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I heard your one episode when you accidentally drank Jason's coffee with milk in it. Did you feel that or was it not enough to feel it?
It's not enough to feel it. So we're going to overshare here. So it's usually okay, with me when I eat dairy products, I get a bit of a stomach ache, but it's actually more just like gas. I get quite bad gas and it's not great. So it's actually like almost worse for the person I'm with rather than for me. Let's just put it that way. So Jason was probably suffering more than I was that day because it was only a very small amount. But yeah, it honestly, I'm really sensitive to it. So I know some people can have like lactose-free milk and lactose-free cheese and all that kind of stuff. That still completely gets my stomach. So I just have to completely avoid any dairy products at all or any kind of egg products. And otherwise it's just, game over.
Well, it's good that you figured that out. I was having issues with dairy once I figured out all my digestive stuff because I was vegan for so long and reintroducing it was so hard. But now after a few years, I can like slowly have a little bit. It's just like if I push it too much, it gets annoying. But mine's more like phlegmy.
How was it? Okay. Yeah. So what made you move away from veganism once you're vegan for so long?
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of things. That was when... I was definitely like, I wanted to improve my fitness and I was talking to people at the gym who had been vegan and tried both. So I was just kind of picking their brain about like, okay, well, do you feel better now? And they all said yes. And I also wanted to move away from like being so restrictive because that was harming my mental health. So it wasn't even that, it wasn't necessarily one reason, but definitely I thought, okay, well, if I'm going to this naturopath and spending like $300 on supplements, maybe I should just try to eat different things and try to get things through food. I was always like lower iron, lower B12. So like just paying for all those supplements, it was like, I might as well try. And if I don't like it, then I can always go back, which is exactly what, when I went vegan, I said, I'll try it for 1 month. If I don't like it, I'll go back.
So what's your diet like now? Are you still fairly plant-based or like how is it at the moment?
It really varies. Right now I moved back home with my parents because of COVID, so I'm eating a lot more of their like a lot more meat and the odd thing of dairy. I do eat eggs. I like eggs a lot. But I do, when I eat by myself or if I go out, I usually go to vegan places because I enjoy it. But I definitely eat meat like most days now.
Dairy. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I think that's something that's maybe not spoken about enough within the fitness industry. I follow quite a few kind of vegan content creators and some of them are really good at kind of promoting this kind of putting your mental health and your physical health first. And it's okay to step away from veganism if it's not serving you, basically. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like that's something that's really, really not spoken enough. I've had so many clients that I've worked with who have been vegan for some time and they're really not in a good way. I'll never try and change someone's food beliefs. Like if someone's vegan for ethical reasons, that's cool. I'll happily accept that. But sometimes it would really help reintroducing some animal products, as you saw yourself. And yeah, I do feel like there needs to be a lot more advertisement on that. I think people see veganism as they can simply just stop eating animal products and that's it. Yes. They'll be really, really healthy, and it's just not the way at all. So because I can't eat eggs and dairy, if I don't eat meat, then I'm vegan. So I'm vegan for a lot of the time. Like I maybe eat meat or seafood, maybe like twice a week, if that. So most of the time I am kind of plant-based, and I feel great for it, but I do supplement to fill in any gaps there, which a lot of people don't, sadly.
I did seek a dietitian and a naturopath and stuff, like make sure I'm doing this properly, which is a good thing that I did. But afterwards I feel like sometimes they don't realize disordered eating patterns. So like I would say things to my naturopath that looking back, I'm like, she should have said something. Like, I clearly had some problems there. Like she was like, okay, well just, we were talking about seed cycling, which I don't know if you've heard much about for hormones. So it's literally 2 tablespoons of like ground seeds. And I said to her, okay, so like, should I cut out some other fats in my day to add that? It's like, she's like, you could if you want, I guess. Like, what? You should have not. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's worrying.
It's hard
isn't
to
it?
Catch it, but
yeah, it is. It is hard to catch it, but I like to think that, I mean, that's your job. You kind of should catch it. You
yes.
know? So yeah, it's a shame that you didn't have someone that could.
Yeah, for sure. I think I did go into it mostly for ethical reasons, but with like the underlying, I'm gonna lose weight, which like honestly, I didn't. Like, so just so people know, you don't always. And it's definitely really hard to sometimes focus on making sure you're getting everything. It's definitely possible and you get into the routine, but it takes some time of like, what can I play with? How much soy can I eat that I feel good? I don't think soy is bad at all, but sometimes it just feels like, okay, I've ate tofu 3 times in the last 24 hours. I'm over it. Like,
Have you ever tried like soy-based protein shakes? Have you tried those ones before? Mm-hmm. They're pretty gross. I'm sure there's some people listening that might quite like them, and I apologize. Yeah. But honestly, not a fan at all. Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely had a lot of like protein powders that are a variety of things. It'll be like quinoa and 5 other grains or whatever, but
they're getting better, vegan protein powders. They are getting better. I remember when I first couldn't eat dairy and I had to start trying all the vegan protein powders, they honestly tasted like you were drinking soil. Like that's honestly what vegan dirt. Protein tasted like. Yeah, it just tasted like dirt. So like now there's a few companies here, at least in the UK, where they actually taste good. Like they're really well balanced. Like they've balanced the amino acid profile of these shakes and they're pretty much as close to whey as you can get, and they taste amazing. So yeah, I think once again, back when people were maybe vegan 10, 15 years ago, switching up to a vegan diet was probably very much eating kind of really healthy single ingredient foods. Whereas nowadays, a lot of stuff that's packaged as vegan is not healthy at all. Like just because something's got vegan stamped on the label doesn't mean it's healthy, but some people think it is. So yeah, I think people have to be a little bit smarter with plant-based diets now.
Yeah. It's all in the branding. Same with like things that were always keto, but then they put something like keto. It's like, yeah, because there was never any carbs in it to begin with. Yeah. It'd be like a pepperette keto, obviously. Like, but it's not obvious for some people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Marketing, it works. Hey?
Yes, it does. Okay. Let's do rapid fire questions.
Oh, nice.
Are you
okay.
Ready?
Yeah. Let's go for it.
I'm like, wait, what if you don't call these the same things? Yeah. But I think you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Let's go for it.
Okay. Would you rather push-ups or pull-ups?
Pull-ups.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want explanations to these, or are we just
going to like single it out?
Okay, quick. Okay, cool. Let's go.
If you want to dive into something after, you can.
No, go for it.
Squats or deadlifts?
Deadlifts, definitely.
Nice. Agreed. Running or rowing?
Running. Love running.
Me too. Skipping or biking?
Biking.
Hard. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Even the assault bike? Like?
No. Just a normal bike. So okay. I've done a half Ironman. I'm going to do a full Ironman maybe next year or the year after. And I love cycling. Nice. So cycling. Absolutely. Yes.
Love that. Yeah, I like cycling outside, and then the assault bike, my nemesis.
Yeah, I'm completely with you there. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Salty or sweet?
Sweet.
Yeah, me too.
Really sweet.
Look at us, the same.
There we go.
Okay, this is just, I'll give you a question or a statement, and you're going to finish it, okay?
Oh, okay, nice.
If I were to tell little Michael something, it would be?
Have belief in yourself. That's really cheesy, isn't it? But I was a very underconfident kid. I was bullied a lot at school. I looked a little bit weird, and I always doubted myself for years. Even starting my own business, I didn't think that I could succeed in that. And yeah, it took a lot of years of building myself up, but absolutely have more confidence in yourself. It'll work out and be fine.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing. One tip I wish I knew when I started my business.
Ooh.
Besides confidence.
Okay. You need to, I'm trying to think of how to word this. Running a fitness business is not just learning about fitness. You need to learn about so many different things on top of that. You need to learn about marketing, advertising, how to design a website, how to kind of package yourself and how you put yourself across on social media, how to edit videos, how to edit photos, all that kind of stuff. It's so complex. Bookkeeping, accounting. It's so much more than just being able to coach people properly. That's obviously a huge part of it, the biggest part. But if you can't do all the other little bits, you're going to struggle.
Yes. Completely agreed. I feel like I work on nutrition the smallest amount compared to everything else.
Like, I know. Yeah, same with my week. I'll look at my week and I'm like, right, this is all studying I have to do this week. And then I realize I've done all the other bits that are really important. And I'm like squeezing in a bit of nutrition studying right at the end of the week. So yeah, I'm completely with you there.
Absolutely. And then eventually you can hopefully hire someone to do the crap you don't like once you can, but you start off doing it all yourself.
Literally all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I want everyone to know about nutrition is?
There is no one size fits all. Like, absolutely. If anyone tells you that their approach is the best approach for everyone, they're full of crap. Do not listen to them.
Yes, I say the same thing, but I say run.
Okay, run. Okay, yeah. I'll say fight them. Don't run. Fight them.
Yeah, okay. There you go. I like that. Just throw a punch. It'll be perfect.
Just throw down. Do it.
Okay. How about if I knew one thing about fitness when I started exercising, what would it be?
Don't compare yourself to the pictures you see in fitness magazines. I used to, when I first started lifting, I used to go through Men's Health magazine. I'd take pictures of the physiques. I thought, right, this guy looks awesome. I want to look like that. If I just work hard for a few years, I will look like that without realizing this guy has been dieting down for this. He's been taking steroids. He's been working at it for God knows how many years. You will never look like that if you're doing it naturally. And if I knew that from the get-go, I probably would have been a lot kinder on myself and focused a lot more on longevity and treating my body with a bit of respect rather than just more workouts, and then beating myself up for maybe not looking the way that I thought I should.
Yes, that's really good advice, because it's wild what goes into one day of a photo shoot, like the tan, the diuretics, the like not eating for 24 hours, and it's just... Wow.
Yeah, do you know who I quite like? Hugh Jackman, who played Wolverine. He had a really good interview actually talking about one of his last Wolverine movies and how there was one scene in the movie that I think he was on screen for maybe like 10 or 15 seconds. And he said that he dieted down for something like 3 months to build up to this one little scene. And the amount of food and water he avoided in the lead up to that one day as well. And I've butchered his quotes there. I'm sure I've got the time frames wrong, but he basically just went into a great depth of how long it took for him to build up to that one particular scene in the movie. And I think there needs to be more people within the fitness industry being honest about their approaches, because if people know that, they're not going to kind of do all sorts of silly things, hurting their bodies in this kind of pursuit of a unachievable physique or goal that they're trying to get to.
Yes. Plus, then it can be edited. Plus, the lighting. Like, lighting alone can make you look completely different. It's wild.
Yeah, completely. I mean, we've all been in a good changing room and the lighting's been good. Yes. And you thought, oh, damn, I look amazing. And then you get home and you're like, oh, no, it's gone.
Oh, this is me again.
Yeah.
What's that movie? I think it's I Am Pretty. Have you seen that? What's
her
name?
It's
with Amy Schumer. And she's, like, in a fitness class and she... falls down and hits her head, and then she wakes up thinking she's like super like her dream body, and it's so funny. And then all of a sudden she like snaps back out of it and she's
back to normal.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay, I ask a couple things to everyone, so this can, you can go anywhere you want with it, but what do you think the secret to health is?
Balance, and not ruling anything out. So I think throughout life, we have different priorities, and sometimes that might be health and fitness. Other times that might be family and kids. It might be your job and your career. And I think that you need to be kind of balanced and flexible with your approach to exercise and nutrition. So if you can know that your exercise routine and your diet is there to supplement your life to help you navigate this crazy world that we're in, I think if you go into it looking at it being more flexible, then you're going to have a lot more success moving forward, rather than making this plan fit into every other aspect of your life and wondering why you're burning out and feeling like rubbish.
Yeah. Boring. Boring advice. Yes.
Yeah, really dull, isn't it? Sorry.
I'm kidding. That's perfect. That's you said it just as I probably would, so that's great.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't want there to be a right answer for this, and I want everyone to say different things, but most people are saying something very along those lines because I tend to go towards those people. I don't want to have anyone too aggressive on.
Yeah, I mean, okay, let's say something silly, like watch Pumping Iron by Arnold Schwarzenegger and just like imitate his noises whilst you're working out, and it helps you improve your lifting experience. How about that? We'll go with that.
It honestly probably does.
Yeah, probably does. I used to watch that movie a lot growing up, and yeah, he's some guy, isn't he? But yeah, you'll learn a lot.
Yeah. A lot of people don't breathe, so that might help.
Do you know what? It genuinely would. Yeah, the amount of times you're in gyms and people are holding their breath and you're wondering why your client's face is going bright red as you're lifting with them. Yeah.
Okay, secret to health, breathe. Yeah, during exercise and not. What brings you light in your life?
Ooh, my wife and my dog. That's very cheesy, I know. You may have seen from my social media, my little French bulldog, Daisy. We rehomed her about 2 years ago, and she's amazing. My wife, I've been with her for like 12 years. We've been together, married for 2 years, and yeah, she's awesome. We live in a beautiful city in Scotland. Who knows where we'll be living long term, but I love living here. And yeah, that's kind of it. I'm a very simple guy. Like, I don't like going out and partying all the time or anything silly. I just like a fairly simple life with people that I care about and care about me, you know?
Nice. Yeah. When did things open back up for you guys then?
They're kind of opening and then closing and then opening and closing. For some reason, well, Boris Johnson's an idiot. Let's put that out there first of all. And he's kind of told us that COVID's over, so that's fine. We're all back to normal down in England. But luckily in Scotland, we have someone with a bit more sense running us. And Nicola Sturgeon, we're still a bit locked down here. We still have to wear masks and social distance and stuff when we go out, unlike in England. But yeah, we can still meet friends outside and do most of the stuff we can usually do. We just have to be sensible and respectful of others. How about you? How's what your lockdown's like at the moment?
Ontario's been the worst of everyone. We've been like the lockdown the most. It's insane. BC opened back up, no masks. They're like, they're chilling. And then Ontario is like, nope. You're going to keep staying, but we're slowly opening back up. So the gym's been open back just for 1 week inside, but we were outside for about a month before that. But yeah, it's like open for a couple months and closed for like 4 months. It's like, it feels like we're closed way longer than we're open.
That's it. We've actually had gyms open for ages now. Like, our gyms have been open for months. Okay. I've still not been back to one, just because I bought a load of equipment for my home when COVID first kind of hit off, and I'm just enjoying home workouts and keeping away from other people at the moment, if I'm honest.
Yes, actually, I heard that episode and Jason's like, no home workouts.
Yeah, Jason hated them from the get-go. I remember when COVID first hit, and he was really motivated. He'd like set up all this home equipment. He was using, in his garden, he's got like a park bench. and he would get his wife to sit on the bench. Then he'd be like lying underneath the bench and using it for bench press. He had like two spades he was doing dips on and stuff like that. But I think that lasted about a week. And then he basically didn't exercise again until gyms opened because he'd had enough of it. So, whereas I've quite enjoyed it. I like the flexibility. Like my work schedule is quite busy, and it's quite nice being able to just like shoehorn a workout into the middle of the day without having to go anywhere. So I've actually quite liked that. I miss the gym. Yes. Don't get me wrong. I love being in a gym, deadlifting, picking up some proper weights, but I'm still making progress. So I'm happy.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Plug all your things.
Amazing. So I'll mention the podcast first then. So yeah, our podcast is called Just the Fitness Tip. The innuendo was intended. If once you listen to Jason talking, you'll understand why the innuendo came out. So yeah, Just the Fitness Tip. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Playcasts, and pretty much every podcast platform, I think. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, mainly you can find me on Instagram. So it's at Michael Ulloa PT. My surname is spelt weird. It's Ulloa. So yeah, Michael, like Aloha PT. It's the same on Twitter and Facebook. And you can check out my website, and it's just michaeluloa.com.
Nice. Well, that was great. Any final words of wisdom?
No, I'm happy leaving it there. Thank you so much for inviting me on. It's been really nice to chat. It's the final word of wisdom then would just be just kind of a massive tip of the hat to social media in general, just because I've met some amazing people through Instagram, mainly yourself included, and creating these connections all the way over in Canada, for example, is just awesome. The fact we've just spoken a few times on Instagram and set up this call and had a great discussion. I think it's awesome. Social media gets a bad rep, but there's a lot of amazing things that have come from it. So,
yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Detox Wellness. If you find that this is going to really resonate with someone, please share it with them. You can also leave a rating and a review. That would be super helpful. I love seeing what you guys think about the episodes. You can always message me or Michael on Instagram. We'd love to hear it. And for more information on what I do, you can go to my website, www.vitamind, it's spelled DEA, same as the podcast title, .ca. And my Instagram is at vitamin.d. I'll put it in the show notes as well. And until we meet again, have a great week. Goodbye.